God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I want us to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5 together, 9 to 14. Are you glad to be at church today? I'm so happy you're here. I'm Pastor Kurt Green, pastor of the church. You're a guest today. I'm so happy you're here today. Make yourself at home. We love you. Don't worry about anything except for your hunger for God. I promise you, if you just keep coming to church, let's all stand together. We're going to read the word for just a moment, and then we'll be seated together. Just do this unity together, but just please keep coming to church. You need to keep going to church. Amen. Step one, if you want to go to heaven, be at every service. Every service. That's where you're going to grow. If you're not going, if you've been in church a long time and you still can't get to church, then something is really wrong with you. If you're new and you want to grow in your walk with God, please, please get to every service. Be hungry. This is more important than anything else in the whole world. And you need this. I need this. As a pastor, as a man, I need to be here. Watching you praise God, it blesses me. Watching you open up your heart blesses me. This is good for me. I want to go to church. I love what we do here. So please keep going to church, get in our classes, get involved. Listen, we need your help. We need help. I need help. We need help. We got a lot to do around here. We got a world to reach. I know some of you want to be in the military and you want to be medical doctors. What about soul? What about people that save souls? How about that? Anybody want to help me win souls that are broken and hurting and depressed? Anybody can do that. You don't have to go to college for that. We need your help. I got a word today for the church. You ready? Here we go. 2 Kings 5 and 9. Naaman went with his horses and his chariot. Well, he was somebody big, wasn't he? He got horses and chariots. He stood at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha's a prophet. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan," that's a river, "7 times. Your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean." This guy was a leper. His flesh was falling apart and he needed a miracle. But Naaman became very, very furious. Verse 11, he went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself," this is what he was thinking. This is what we think. We don't say it out loud in church. We just think it. He said, "Surely I thought he would come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God." It's not my God. It's his God. "And wave his hand over the place and do a lot of theatrics and animation, you know, like Benny Hinn on the internet, just all that stuff they do on the online, all that wild stuff they do." He said, "I thought I was going to get some really fun, fancy miracle that could go on YouTube and I could get a lot of views." I mean, this guy is dying from leprosy and he's concerned about the way he gets his miracle. I can tell you don't want out of your trouble when you're picking apart the method that God uses to get you out of your trouble. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to help anybody that doesn't want out of their trouble. If God can't help you, I can't help you. I'm not even going to lose sleep over it. I'm just going to give you a chance to get out and you do what you want to do with your life. The same way I had to make the choice to get out of mine and the Lord saved me. We're free will people. If you don't want out, don't get out. I love you, care about you. It breaks my heart that you're in what you're in. But if you don't want to listen to advice and be obedient, you will stay a leper the rest of your life and all your glory is going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. All your money, all your prestige, it's all coming to an end. Am I right, Brother Dale? It can end as quick as you got it. That's the word today for somebody. Look what he said. He was so mad. Verse 12, he said, are not the rivers of Abana and Parfar, the rivers of Damascus, that's where his hometown, that's back where he's from in Syria, aren't they better than the waters of Israel, this place here? Could I not wash in them and get clean? So he turned and went away in rage. The man had traveled to get a miracle and he was so mad because it wasn't his expectations. He didn't get what he wanted the way he wanted. Full of pride, wasn't he? And then his servants, thank God for some good friends. His servants came to him, came close and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something really, really difficult, you was already prepared to do it. You came here prepared to do whatever it took to get over this leprosy. How much more than if he says to you something simple, go dip yourself in some water, some dirty water, 7 times. Would you just get over with and shut up?" That's probably what he was thinking. He probably said it a lot nicer than that. But, you know, servants will think one thing and say a different thing. Yeah, they're thinking it, though. So what did he do? He listened. He was like, okay, good advice. Sometimes you just need somebody to speak some sense to you. And verse 14 said he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, that old dirty river, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. He got to start back over. God restored that old nasty broken flesh, and he was clean. Leprosy in the Bible was always a symbol of sin, always a symbol of slow decay, falling apart. And this is a sad story that turned good But there's a whole lot here we're going to break down today. My message that I felt to preach today to everybody in this room, everybody watching online, is broken but bossy. And I'm just going to tell you, this area is breaking my heart. This area is breaking my heart. I've never seen so many prideful, poor people than Del Valle, Texas. I've never seen so many people so messed up, full of so much pride. It is breaking my heart that people are not getting what they could have because of their stinking pride. And I hate watching people stay lepers with a God that can set you free in one moment. It absolutely breaks my heart that there are people that are demanding God to do it the way they want instead of just obeying the simple yet embarrassing commandment. Simple, embarrassing. Simple, embarrassing. Full of pride. Don't get distracted today, because the Lord sent me here to help somebody. If you want to stop falling apart, crumbling, slowly dying, God gave me a word today for you, but you got to stop being so bossy, and you're gonna have to lay down your pride. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. God bless. You can be seated today. I'm so glad you're here. I hope this helps you today. I've felt a burden for many of you today, and our guests today. I hope this helps. I hope you open your heart up. Please keep your attention today. Please do your best to not be distracted today. Can I start at the beginning to give you all the context? In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Syria. This is not the nation of Israel. It's a next-door nation. Oftentimes, they were enemies, and they would fight. It was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, not in the eyes of the Lord, but in the eyes of his own king, his own master, because by him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. I want you to notice the words and the phrases here that the Lord gave them. You see, you can be both at the same time. You can have a successful life, business, marriage. You can have accomplishments in this world. You can have a nice home. And you can be a leper. It is very possible for you to have a lot going for you and it not matter, because things underneath the surface are crumbling. And so that's what's happened to this successful man, this man that thought he was all that. He was popular. He was a military commander of his day. He was loved by his king. He had everything going well for himself. He had servants. His wife had servants. How many of y'all's women would like to have a lady at the house doing all the work for you? Don't worry, robots are on the way. That scares the fire out of me. This family ain't buying no robot walking around at night in my house. I can tell you right now, that sucker gonna get shot. I ain't trusting none of that. There have been way too many movies. Way too many movies about parody. He had family. He had almost the perfect life. The first thing I want to mention today is that Naaman and Syria did not get the victory. God gave them the victory. This is so key. You see, they were not even worshipers of God like the Israelites, but God still gave the specifically victory in his life. Why? Because our God is not just the God of all who call him God. God of those who call him God. He is God of all. For one day, all knees shall bow down and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Everyone in this room right now, whether you're shouting or bowing today, there's going to come a day, whether you're lost or saved, that you will own it. You might not own it today, but there's coming a day where you will see that our God is the God of all creation. He's always been God. And just because you think you don't need him, the only reason why he's ever promoted you is because he has a big plan and you're just a piece of the puzzle. Our God sets up kingdoms and tears them down. He told his people Israel, if you don't want my covering, well, you go ahead and sin, do what you want to do. But if you sin, I'm taking my covering off of you, and don't be surprised when I let your enemies come and attack you to teach you a lesson. I'm going to tell you, some people, there are some enemies in our life that are only strong because the church was weak. I'll tell you, the only reason why the world has so many strong, powerful people is because the church has not taken their place. Because the people of God have denied to walk with the power of their God. And the Lord said, sure, if you don't want my blessing, I'll give it to somebody else. And they will step on you. And they will trample on you. And they'll make you want to go low. They'll make you low till you look up and repent. The only reason our God promotes the enemy is because the people of God aren't living right. You see, our enemy is only strong when our devotion to God is weak. They're not strong. They're getting used by God. You see, that devil seems like he's strong. He's not strong. Your devotion is weak. The reason why he seems like he's such a big giant is because you have not put your faith in Jesus. He's actually not powerful. The only reason why it feels powerful is because you're not submitted. If you'd be submitted, he'd be weak. And you'd be strong. It's a good lesson in the Old Testament, isn't it? You see, Naaman, when he got this victory, he got the big head. He thought it was all about him. He didn't understand that God had given him the victory, that the God he did not worship gave him victory. There's a lot of people in this world that don't understand. The only reason why they have it is because God let them have it. Because God is using, let me tell you this, God is using Elon Musk for his mysterious purpose. Even though the guy's not a Christian, the Lord's always used non-Christians to bring about his end time purposes. Why would God ever use an enemy? Because he's got a big revival planned, and it always has to get dark before people see the light. All these people you don't like that are in power, God's using them. Don't fear billionaires and militaries and Putin and all the big guys out there with militaries and bombs. God raised them up. They're puppets. The Lord allows a voice to go in Elon Musk's head, tell him to build Starlink, build a rocket, and Elon thinks it was his idea. I know better. It ain't Elon's idea. The only reason anybody ever has anything is because the Lord allows them to have it. It rains on the just and the unjust, and he lets the sun rise on the evil and the good. That's what the Bible says. Victory is not always evidence that you're holy, church family. It could be evidence that you're an enemy of God. Oh, man, I'm preaching a lot right now. I'm trying to take my time, but see, the world is so confused. Just because you have a bank account and muscles and chariots and horses and all this extra stuff doesn't mean God is pleased. We get a little power, and we get a little money, we get a little promotion. We start thinking we're hot stuff. Thank God for leprosy to humble us back down. God has a way of bouncing out our pride, doesn't he? The Bible says that Naaman was great, but he was a leper. Leprosy was a slow death sentence where your skin would slowly melt away and you'd fall apart until you were literally dying slowly. It's like an outside to in death. To where eventually you crumble and fall apart, you become unrecognizable. It was incurable, humiliating. Okay? You're saying you're too embarrassed to come to the altar? You think you're embarrassed to come to God while you have the chance? You think it's embarrassing while you have the chance? You think it's embarrassing shouting in church? Just wait till you've. You know what happens when you're a leper? You start to lose your social connections because the disease, as it worsens, you become contagious and you lose connections to other people. And you say it's their fault. It's your fault because you're the contagious leper falling apart, and you'll have to excuse everybody for not wanting to hang out with you so much since you are the one that could give that poison to somebody else. And if you'd have run to the altar and got a pastor a long time ago, you wouldn't have to lose your family. You'd rather crumble in your pride because you don't understand the only reason you even have money right now is because God let you have it. In fact, let me go a little further. I'm talking to a man right now. The only reason why God let you have money is because you're married to her. And she worships and loves God. And if you didn't have her, you'd probably be in a pit right now. Maybe it was for your children. Maybe the only reason why, sir, God let you have it is because he was trying to take care of your kids. And they're the only thing protecting you from having all hell break out in your life. I believe it with all my heart. Better not divorce her. Better not leave her. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. When you have leprosy, it makes all other victories and successes in this life pointless. You know it's a matter of time before you're going to lose it all. What a wise man. He understood that all of this I have can fall apart if I don't fix the root of my leprosy. 2 Kings 5:2, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. 3, and she said to her mistress, Naaman's wife, if only my master were with the prophet who is back in Israel, for he would heal him of his leprosy. I know it sounds just like a story and the details don't matter, but every single detail there matters. Let me preach on it. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail enough for me to preach a little bit about. This young slave girl, influential man's wife. They must have had a pretty good relationship, or this girl must have just really cared about him, or just really was an outspoken young girl. Because she throws out something culturally and logically absurd to her masters. I am sure if you found the prophet from my country, if you found the God that I serve, I am certain, I know I'm a slave, but let me just tell you who my God is. I am certain that my God could fix problems your God can't fix. I am confident if you could find my God. Hey, you're just a shut up little slave girl. No, I won't shut up. I might be a slave girl. I might be young, but I still serve Jehovah. He's still the mighty one God. He's still the one that can take your problems away. I might be a but my God, somebody. I need some Dell Valley people. I need some East Austin people to realize you might be broke, but your God is rich. I need some people that have been marginalized and you think everybody's against you to realize who your God is. It doesn't matter if you're a slave. Your God is the king of the universe, and your God can fix anybody's problem regardless of what you are going through. She didn't even preach very long. That was the shortest message ever. She didn't even get into all the Greek, Hebrew. She didn't get into all the doctrine. She didn't get into all the education. Well, where's your college degree at? And what have you ever done for God? She wasn't trying to be all that. She said, I'm nobody. I'm a slave girl. You know that. I'm just telling you, I know a prophet. And he has heard stories about him doing miracles. Poor, slave, weak, female. Yet she lifts up her head and says, I've heard some stories about an old prophet in Israel that my God has used to perform impossible miracles. Don't give up yet, Naaman. There's still hope for you. Pastor, nobody will ever listen to me. I'm just a nobody. Nobody ever listened to me. Oh, really? Watch this. Verse 4. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go. It does work when you preach. It does work when you stand up and say it. I'm going to tell you what will happen if you say nothing, nothing. Nothing will happen if you stay quiet. If you keep looking in the mirror saying, I'm just a slave, I'm just a female, I'm uneducated, what can I offer? Offer faith. Offer Jesus. Offer the word of God. You don't have the answers. He has the answers. You don't have the answers. Jesus has the answers. Naaman didn't listen to me. Oh, and then it says, go, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold. Wow, a lot of money. And 10 changes of clothing. Because that's the way men in the world deal. They think we always want money. They're like, who wouldn't want money? Surely the prophet would love some money in exchange for the miracle. Let's see what happens with that later. Naaman didn't listen to the slave girl because of her status and condition in life. Naaman listened to the slave girl because of his status and condition in life. I know that one word made a big difference. Let me take it slow. I got to slow down. I had too much caffeine this morning. I don't normally drink the double shot of espresso, but I just was lusting for it this morning. I had to get it. Okay, listen to me again. I want to say it. Naaman listened to the slave girl because of his condition, not because of her condition. Hungry people will not call you out for your lack of qualification when they are the ones with the lack of qualifications. See, some of you are waiting for you to be great before people listen. But people don't care if you're great if they don't think they need help. The reason people don't listen to preachers is not because the preacher's not big, but because you don't want to fix your problem. I love this story because if you really want out, it just takes a little opportunity and you'll take it. When someone really wants out, you could pass by them and they'll shout. When somebody really wants out, you can just walk right by like blind Bartimaeus. And he said, what was that? I hear a crowd. Is that the Lord? Jesus, son of David. Nobody even had to tell him that there was an opportunity. But you see, a little opportunity to somebody that wants out is enough. If you just have a little chance, somebody hungry will get out if you just give them a little. That's why everybody in this room could be a preacher for the gospel. No matter your education, skin color, or who you know or don't know, as long as you preach Jesus, it doesn't matter how small you are, because they're going to listen, not because you're great, but because they're in trouble. I'm tired of people telling me I'm not great because they're not getting what they need. I'm going to tell you right now, I came to tell you, you're not getting what you need, and it's your own fault. Devil's a liar. I'm not taking the blame for your lack of hunger. I'm not going to become the most polished, beautiful preacher in the world because I'm not your problem. I'm not even your answer. I'm not your problem. I'm not your answer. Your answer is Jesus. I'm just the messenger. I just came to tell you, as a poor slave girl, if you want out, you can get out. Every prophet needs a poor slave girl. The kingdom of God doesn't get done because of one man. The prophet was only part of the plan. The prophet was just one part of the deliverance. There's a lot of pieces that God uses to get you free. And you're thinking one thing will get you free? No, God will send multiple things. God will use your wife's servant. You know, the servant talked to the wife and the wife talked to the man. And so God will use all kind of things to get your attention. Then you talk to the king, and the king's like, you ought to go. God will use all kind of voices to try to, because he loves you. He's trying to get you whole. Y'all good? We good? So people don't get faith because the messenger's powerful. People get faith because the messenger has one last option for that person that's broken. And I need an option. I need hope. Slave girl sermons get real popular when your power can't fix your own problems. Slave girl sermons get real popular when your money hasn't fixed your problems and you've gone to every great doctor in Syria and none of them have fixed your leprosy. Slave girl sermons get real popular when your own religion and false gods can't fix your problems. Slave girl sermons get real, real popular when you can't fix your own problems. And you know the reason why God sends foolish preachers? To see if you're hungry. For God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. None of us have to be great for people to get free. Only God has to be great for people to get free. I'm going to go find me a church where it's polished and the preacher's great, never offends us, and I just feel all the good feelings. And you don't want out. Okay, I'm sorry. I grew up in the Apostolic Pentecostal Church. We've always been known as the church of power, authority, and miracles. And you think you're going to go somewhere else and get help? It's a lie. People are leaving the other churches, coming to ours because they're calling those churches dead. Smoke and lights, a bunch of fake people. People are looking for the real church in 2025, and they're coming in Austin First Church saying, I tried celebration. I tried the party church. I tried the fun. I'm not trying to down them. They're telling me I tried it, and I'm looking for something real. I wish the best for those churches. If they want to call me, call me. I'll help you have a great church. I'll help you finish whatever God started. I don't have all the answers, but I know I was raised in a church where the prophet was alive and miracles happened on church pews. And we are still that same church today, but the Lord wants to get all the glory, and he doesn't want us to get all the glory. So let me tell you right now, if you feel like you're the slave girl trying to get a ministry in the last days, lift your head up. Don't forget who your God is when you don't understand why you're stuck where you are. I shouldn't be here. Yeah, you should. There's a Syrian general that needs a wake-up call, and you're the last hope. But I should be home. I should be at my garden. I should be having my best life, living my best life. As Joel Osteen said, I should be living my best life. No, you shouldn't. You should be serving that man. Listen, we all can't be Naaman. Boy, the pride of humanity. Some of us have to be settled for being the slave girl. But listen, in heaven one day, when Naaman, if he made it to heaven, I don't know if he did, but if Naaman made it to heaven, if he made it to heaven one day, and they announce him as, and great Naaman. But before we mention great Naaman, the Syrian man, he's only here today because of a poor, little, slave Israelite girl. If it had not been for her ministry, he would have never made it. You think Naaman's going to be above the slave girl in heaven? No, she's going to have a bigger throne than him because she's the little thing that God chose to use. Maybe God let you get trapped so somebody else can get free. You ever felt stuck but anointed? It's not about you then. Oh, man. It's not about you then. If you know God is with you and you're with God, but you're stuck and you feel like you're a slave and can't go anywhere, then look around because God's trying to use you in that situation to bless somebody else. Hey, look, you may call me the slave, but Naaman, you're the slave. Who's the slave? My skin ain't falling apart. Bet you trade places with me. If you don't have your walk with God, you got nothing. I'd rather be a slave without leprosy than a general slowly falling apart. Who's the real slave, Naaman? You are. You may never get mentioned in the Bible, church family, ever again, besides that moment right there, like a slave girl. But heaven has it on record that Naaman's life was saved by a slave girl who still believed that she had a voice and her God could do anything. Lift up your head. Just because you live in a trashy neighborhood doesn't mean you can't use your faith and lead people to Jesus Christ. When will you figure this out? When I'm trying to preach to this church. I don't care about how stuck you are. If your mouth still works, lift your words, lift your head, and declare there's still only one God. There's still a way out. There's still miracles that can happen. Yes, even as a slave, I still believe. So God sent me here today to talk about what you can't fix. You may can trick everybody else, but those who live in your house know you're falling apart. You might be the general to everybody else, but to the people in your home, you're falling apart. If you have someone in your house with problems they can't solve, you may be the only reason they could ever get free of their problem. So maybe instead of being sour and angry all the time, why don't you start testifying of the goodness of God? Because it sounds like God is the only hope your family has. So people in your home know. You know who else knows about you? Your pastor knows about you. After all these years of watching your dead face in church, I know you need a good dose of the Holy Ghost today. And if you think you're faking, this whole story is about the prophetic and seeing behind your fake facial expressions. I'm going to tell you right now, the reason why it feels weird sometimes between me and you is because I've picked up on your spirit, and I'm not a good actor. Some of y'all called me out. You've been like, what is that facial expression? I'm like, what is that? What is that facial expression? Sorry, don't feel like telling you right now. Love you. God bless you. I have found that because people don't study their Bibles, they worry about what I think about them. You should be more worried about what the Word of God says that you are than I. If you'd read your Bible, you'd know that you know who you are. Why are you worried about if I like you or if I think you're doing great? Study your Bible and find out. I don't want to be the bad guy. Let God be the bad guy. I want to be your friend. Pastor, what do you think? Go read your Bible, come back to me in a year and tell me, are you doing it? How about what God thinks about you? I'm not your Catholic priest. You already have a high priest, Jesus Christ. The Bible says he is the high priest. You've got to go to him and look in the mirror and say, who am I? Who am I? Yeah, I know you. I know a lot of you. Why would some people get offended after 5 years of being the pastor's best friend? Because after years of loving you and seeing who you really are, I finally reached my limit. Finally get tired of watching you fall apart with leprosy. And I finally figure maybe I can say something now. It's kind of awkward when you talk about somebody's leprosy. It's a very personal, private problem. It's really awkward, but it's fallen upon me, unfortunately, as pastor of a church, to have to be the bad guy, to say, you realize you're falling apart. No, I'm not. Don't you know who I am? I'm a general. Not ready yet, are you? I can tell you're not ready to talk about your problems when you bow up and get defensive. Pastor, are you calling me a leper? I thought you loved me. I do love you, but here's a news flash. I've always known you were a leper, and I still loved you. When I tell you what's wrong with you, it's not the first time I've thought about it. It's the 10th. You think I don't know? Am I stupid? Maybe I am a good actor. I did acting back in the day. I did church acting. Yeah. Maybe I am a better actor than I give myself credit. You see, that whenever I reveal something to you, it's not usually the first time I've thought about it. And the reason why you're shocked is because I've been loving you for 5 years while you've had your problem. And you think I just figured it out, and that's why I'm just saying it. And the truth is, I've known it since you've been here. But it wasn't time to tell you yet. And the reason why you're so shocked is because you thought our relationship hinged on if I thought you were pure. No, our relationship hinges on honesty and truth. You can only fake so long around people. If someone annoys you, either tell them or leave them. What do you want them to do? Leave you or tell you? Tell me. Tell me, because I'm tired of being alone. So pastors will know you too. The prophet will know you when he comes to preach. He'll call you out. But the pastor knows you. It's my job to watch, to be a guide, to be a guard. But I still love you, even though I've seen your problems. I see that you don't come to church all the time. I still love you. I see you never lift your hands up. I still love you. I still treat you good. Still shake your hands. Still hug you. I'm hoping that one of these days you'll love me. Because I can tell when someone doesn't love me. When I try to help them, they get mad. It's very one-sided. See, if you love me, you let me help you. But you love yourself more than you love me. It's quiet. It needs to be quiet right now because you need to think about it. I've known about your marriage problems for a long time. I haven't said anything. I've known about how you didn't raise your kids right. I know you failed your children and they're backslid right now. I still love you and there's still hope for them. But you don't want help yet, Naaman. And just because I bring it up doesn't mean that I just figured it out. No, it means I'm tired of watching you fall apart and I can no longer be quiet. I finally figured it out. If you don't want to change, you will hate the change preacher in your life and you will look for one that doesn't preach about change. People tell me that church down there never preaches with anything tough. They always talk about self-help and everything's good. And I got tired of that. And I'm like, well, then come to our church. Not everybody wants pie in the sky, fluffy clouds when they come to church. Most people that are hungry and have leprosy want real change. This is the church for you. This is the church to get out of mess. This is a church to get a miracle. This is the church to finally fix things that nobody wants to deal with because it's messy and dirty. I have seen grown men cave into their carnal wives and children because they got tired of them not wanting to serve God and they gave in and let their woman lead the home. But thank God, Naaman wanted to change and he didn't let anything get in the way. But it still didn't end up being like he thought it was. Because in verse 9, Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and the Bible says he stood at the door of Elisha's house. I can just imagine him right now with his head up, thinking he's so great and amazing with his nice little crown and sword, and he's so powerful, and he stands there. But let me tell you how far it took him. I looked up the mileage. Keep in mind, this was around a 200-mile trip by horse. And according to how far horses go in a day, it could have taken him around 7 to 8 days just to see if he could get a miracle. And yet you can't get to church when it's raining. In a vehicle full of airbags, air conditioners, and radios, and you wonder why you're not getting set free of your problems? You're not willing to pay the price. And it's nobody's fault but yours because this door's open every Wednesday and Sunday. And my cell phone's available and my email's available and my office is available and you're not there. And I am not going to worry about you anymore because my job is to let you have a chance. And that's where my dominion ends. That's some faith. He loaded up money, clothing, and gifts, traveled for 8 days on a word of a young slave girl. He must have really wanted to get healed, huh? How bad do you want to get out of your impossible situation? Prove it to me. I'm tired of mouth. It's a work of the devil. I'm calling it out right now. You talk too much. Do it. You talk too much, sir. You've been telling them you're going to change for how long? Shut your mouth and do it. Put up or shut up. Y'all said it, not me. I just copied you. Oh, you think it's hard making that physical journey? You think it's hard? Nothing compared to what happened next, mentally. Look at verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. So your flesh shall be restored to you and you will be clean. He literally said, simple plan. Go to the Jordan River. It's not very far. Travel over there. Dip 7 times. Wash up 7 times. And everything's fine. You can go home. Everything's fine. He should have been happy. But he wasn't. Now, why did Elisha not just answer the door? Because he knew this guy would not like that. Are you trying to poke the bear? Yes. I'm going to answer the question. Are you trying to poke the bear, the great Syrian general? Yeah, I am, actually on purpose, because you can't get rid of leprosy with that much pride. Because what was really eating him up wasn't leprosy. It was pride. Pride comes before a fall. Get rid of leprosy, don't get rid of pride. the man will still. He did it. He sent his messenger to the door. He didn't talk to the man face to face on purpose, because a man with that much pride needs to humble himself before he ever gets a miracle. You know what? You know what people in church would have done? That pastor doesn't love me. No, you're full of pride. And I know it, and your wife knows it, and we all know it. And I refuse to let you demonize me because you don't really want out. Elisha knew who this guy was. He knew how far he had to come. He heard about it. He even knew that the Syrian king sent a letter to the Israelite king telling him, make sure my general is healed when he comes to you. You see, this news made the Israelite king, Elisha's king, tear his clothes when he found out. Tearing clothes is, to me, kind of funny, but back in their day, it was very serious, because whenever you would tear your clothes, it was a symbol of your covering and your money. Clothing was expensive. And so whenever he made a public symbol of, I am desperately in trouble, he ripped his clothes, and somehow word spread throughout the kingdom. Did you hear? The king ripped his robes. Now, that was one of the greatest ways for the king to admit, I'm scared. Why is he scared? Because a great neighboring army king just told the other king, you better get my general healed. And he said, I know how. You brought me a problem I can't fix. And he ripped his clothes and said, who's going to help us? Knowing all along there was a prophet in his country. Sounds like now two people have pride. Well, be careful when you have leadership. Be careful when you get money and power. Be careful whenever you start to be somebody in the kingdom of God. Be careful when you become a department leader. Be careful when you become a preacher. Be careful whenever you think you're all that and God uses you. Because there is a track record of people getting promoted and then having pride. You see, the same pride that says, I can't believe you didn't come to the door, is the same pride that rips your clothes because of problems. Nobody said you were supposed to heal them, bro. Why don't you call on the prophet? Oh, I ain't calling on the prophet. You're just as bad as Naaman's king. You know what's sad? When pastors lock up the prophetic in their churches because they want to get all the glory. I thank God for the prophets among us. I thank God for other preachers and their voices. And I admit I can't do it all by myself. I thank God for people that will rise up and help us. Elisha the prophet offered to help, not because of Naaman, the pagan general, but because the king was fearful. Thank God for the prophets. Kings manage the people for God, but prophets manage the miracles for God. Thank God for the prophetic in the church. Are you thankful for it today? I say every king needs a faithful prophet, and so does every pastor. And pastors that do not allow the prophets, they become corrupt. Every pastor needs other ministers in their life to protect them from getting the overseer of this congregation. I thank God for people on our ministry team that feel what I have to go through. I thank God for people in this church that feel when I feel like ripping my clothes. But after knowing all this, I'm almost done. Thank you for your patience and how sensitive the politics were in this moment. After knowing all of that, how sensitive they could, the war could come because of a failure to heal this man. It was a massive issue. The great prophet of God didn't even answer the door of his tiny little house. How big was his house? It was small. 5 feet away, he could have walked over. Instead, it's kind of like, no, you go. This guy, he's a jerk. Aren't you scared of this guy? This guy could take your whole nation over. I'm not scared. My God is greater. But what about the wars? No. I'm good with God. Now, my nation isn't, but I am. I'm going to live. They might all die, but I'm going to live. I'm good with God. Me and God are good. I'm walking with God every day. Now, my king, he might have pride, but aren't you scared of the general? I ain't scared of nobody. I'm a child of the king, the king of kings. So I just imagine, like, this is just, I have a lot of humor in my mind. I like to joke. But I just imagine Elisha's like, the servant's like, you going to get the door? No, you get it, bro. You realize he's probably going to kill us. It's fine. We're good. You go get it. Don't even just, hey, talk to the door. Just kind of just barely crack it and just be like, hey, he said go dip in the river 7 times. Bop. It's like you're doing everything in your power to trigger this man. And I love the fact that he sent a nameless servant. Like, they don't know him. We find out later who he is. But in the moment, it was kind of like, who are you? I'm nobody. Just have a message for you. I like that part. You see, the instructions that would get Naaman healed didn't even have to come from the prophet as far as directly, because the power wasn't in the person behind the miracle, but the obedience to the miracle. I need to hear it from the man. Pastor, you come to the hospital and pray for me. What if I sent somebody in the name of Jesus to pray for you? That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Well, it won't work if you say it won't work. But the power of healing is not in the person that said it. It's in the obedience to the God that gave it. And you put too much of your faith in men. You should put it in the God of the man. That's not why Elisha ignored the knock. He purposely didn't answer for this reason. Verse 11, Naaman became mad, walked away and said, I just thought he'd come out and wave his hand and do all this and make a big show and we could put it on YouTube and it'd be a big deal and I'd get popular and the whole world would see that I'm favored by God. And in fact, I got back in my hometown, we got rivers a lot better than the method. I got a method where I come from better than the method of your culture. My culture is better than your culture. My religion better than your religion. Well, why are you a leper? Are you a leper? Is there a leper here today? Then stop talking about where you come from and all that you know. I don't care about your mysticism and the demons you worship and the witchcraft. If you're broken, then you need a God that is greater than your God. Well, I went to college and I come from this and the energy of the universe. I don't care about none of that. You're a leper. People have so much pride. They talk to me like I'm a pastor. Like, who are you? You know, you pastor the church. I know a whole lot more than you. Why are you in my office? What are we doing? Why are we doing Bible study? You know everything? Why is your life a wreck? Please see yourself. I don't want to offend you. I'm doing this in public right now because I don't want to say it to anybody privately. I'm trying to tell you right now, if you're here today and you got drama in your life and you've tried everything, you need to be quiet and obey. To get out of what you're in. Stop trying to be so smart and do what the man of God says so that you can finally be free. It's a tragedy that so many spiritual lepers in 2025 around Austin have premeditated plans for their own deliverance, but beggars can't be choosers. If you're in trouble today, then you need to stop trying to find your way to get out and ask God his way. Oh, it breaks my heart. Listen, the broken will never become whole being bossy. Ever. The spirit of a prophet cannot be bought. We should not give a greater audience to the powerful over the weak in Austin, Texas. We should not fear how people could harm us or even withhold blessings from us if we offend them. God hired me. Nobody else. God pays the bills, nobody else. And the only reason you're blessed is because God uses you and blesses you to help take care of me. And that's the truth. I don't care what you say. God's going to have a church and he's going to have a pastor in Austin. Somebody's going to be used. Might as well be you. Our value as the people of God will always come from our exclusivity. Please listen to me. We have what money can't buy at AFC. Yeah, you're right. We don't have all the money. We got better than money. You could be free of leprosy in this place today. We have the cure to the incurable. We have access to the all-powerful. What makes us special in this place is that we have what the world doesn't have. Pastor, we need money, power, influence, good looks. Wait, that's all what the world has. They can find all of that out there. You know what they can't find? A cure for the incurable. This is the church in the name of Jesus for the cure for the incurable. This is the church for impossible things. This is not a church that helps you with stuff you can help yourself with. This is the church that has a God greater than all other gods, and this God can do what no other God can do. Listen, but old Naaman was full of pride, eat up with pride. Like many broken people here today in this room. Inside, you're falling apart, but outside, you think you got the answers. It's driving me crazy. Respectfully, please, brothers and sisters, guests, when your life's falling apart, I really don't care about how tough you are or what you've accomplished or your bank account or how big your house is or how small it is. I don't care about your business if you're falling apart. If your spiritual walk with God is not good, I am not impressed. You understand I'm a man of God, right? Like, I don't care if you're good at a sport. I care about how much you pray and fast, which thank God y'all all do. Because if you didn't, priorities are wrong. I don't mind our leadership team doing a tough mutter all day Saturday as long as they're at the work day next Saturday. It's called balance. Listen, we all see that your life's a mess. Are you tired of faking around us? Are you tired of putting on the show? Are you tired? You see, you only see us 3 hours a week. That's why you can act. But the people with you all the time know the difference. And your best friends hang out with you know you're sour, you're a gossip, you complain, you're angry, you're mad, you're bitter, you throw stuff, you get loud with your kids, but in here you're an angel. No, you're not. You're a real human just like me. You need to stop fronting and faking and be honest today. Stop acting like you got it all figured out. Please, listen, stop ignoring the real reason you came to church today. We're not stupid. And that's disrespectful to act like I don't know what's going on in your life. Do not be fooled by my smile and my hug. Just because I smile and hug you and say I love you doesn't mean I agree with anything you're doing. Just like God still shows up even though you don't deserve it. If your life is a wreck and things are crumbling, stop diverting the prophet's attention on what you're good at. But look at me, money, gold, silver, horses, servants. I don't care. You're a leper. Here's what you lead with. I'm a leper, not I'm rich. Lead with the thing that's most important. Stop diverting what college you went to, where your job is, and the weather and hunting, and let's deal with the real issue. I don't mind talking to you about all the fun stuff in your life as soon as we get the leprosy dealt with. It's hard for me to hang out with you and have dinner whenever you're talking about how much money you make and all this and your life and family. You're sitting there trying to impress me the whole time. I'm not impressed. Servant, get the door. Until this man or woman gets their pride dealt with, they will stay a leper, and I'm not wasting my time. I'm not going to be the audience. I'm not going to go clap for him. I'm not impressed. God's not impressed. You're just a puppet for God. And the prophet knows it. Who cares if you're good at ping pong? You have leprosy, bro. But I'm good at ping pong. You're dying. Are you, what is this macho stuff? Hey, there's macho women in this church. Macho's not just for men. It's an attitude of pride. It's a puff up. It's like, I don't need no help. Who's going to help me? I don't need no help. Don't you know this? Don't you know I've got that? Doesn't matter. You're falling apart. Your mind is about to snap. I tell you why Elisha wasn't impressed with Naaman, because he knew that Naaman only had victory because God allowed him to have victory. So please stop with the tough guy act and the fake I'm okay woman drama. Whatever you have going for you today wasn't because of you anyway. It's because of the goodness of God. Too many want a miracle as long as you get to pick the method. I was thinking the prophet would exactly. God usually makes you do the one thing you don't want to do. Go talk to pastor. That's the one thing. Oh, you must think you're all that. No, I'm the one voted in. Could have been anybody. I got something for you. If you're not going to talk to this pastor, change churches and talk to that pastor. But don't go to hell. You need help. You need help. I'm trying to help you. I care about you. I can't sit by anymore and watch a broken area stay broken, faking, pumped up, looking good with all your actions and all your thug actions. If you're dying, then please get help. Say something. Listen, you want out? I'm telling you, this is how it works. You ask God, watch. The one thing you don't want to do is the thing that's going to get you free. God has your number. Don't you be surprised if the one thing you're begging God not to ask you to do is the thing God asks you to do. That's how it works. He's not number one until that you pass that test. Do you know that doesn't say God told Elisha specifically what to do to be healed? It wasn't in there, Andrew. It didn't say, and he prayed and God said, tell him. I believe that with the prophetic ministry, there are some things God doesn't even have to tell people to do, but God will honor it anyway. You see, when you're so used to hearing God and how he works for 30 years, you get to a point to where your voice and God's voice is the same. Because he's trained you how he works. I think that there's a mutual agreement sometimes that if a prophet says, go dip 7 times. Why not 3? How many did God say? I think God backed him up on it is what I think. I truly believe with all of my heart that it wasn't even about the number. What was it, God? God's number? You're gonna be here all day trying to figure all that, Mr. Revelations, okay? You're never gonna figure it out. You know what I think it was? It didn't even matter the number. It was just you go do it. And in fact, I'll say this. Some people need 7 dips in dirty water because of how much pride they have. Some of y'all might just be 1. But when you get off your horse thinking you're all that, he's like, go ahead and do it 7. I don't want to do all that. You have to do all that. You've been living in pride for so long that what could have cost you 1 dip now take 7. How much more will you try to fight God before you have to give up more later to get out of what you're in? How foolish is that? Lord, help me. I truly believe that Elisha is sitting there with peace in his heart, not afraid of one thing, sipping on tea. Well, I told him, be mad all you want to. It's your life. Either do it or don't do it. I'll be here. Pastor, surely the man of God was up all night worrying. No way. I don't think he was. I think he gave the word and he moved on because it was out of his hands. And when God uses you, say the word and move on. Not because you're angry, because that's all you can do. Brandon, make the phone call. They don't answer. God bless you. Want to go get coffee? I'd love to hang out. Yeah. You know how many times I've said that to people and they never called me back? I sleep at night after I try. Because I know my heart and my intention. I want to help you. But if you don't want help, I'm not taking it personal. It's between you and God. I'm just a vessel God's trying to use. Listen to me. I can't care more than you about your problems. It will crush me. You know I stress over people in this church? I stress. Losing my hair. I asked my wife, how can I help these people whenever we're in private? That's how we talk about you. I asked my pastor, how can I help these people? I asked people on the leadership team, how can I help these people? By the way, that's not gossip. That's called a board meeting about the company. Y'all do it all the time. It's your business. We do it here too. It's not gossip here because we're trying to help people. I don't want my business being known. Your business will be known, and we're going to try to get you out of your drama. We're not here to mess with you. We're here to help you. And I want to tell you something. I'm tired of wanting you out more than you want to get out. You know that Moses got angry because the people were content to walk in the wilderness more than into their promise. His anger caused him to miss his own promised land. But I've come to tell you today, I'm not missing my promised land because you don't want to go in. I'm not doing it. God did not send me here to suck thumbs with you. In fact, God called me Joshua. And God told me when I came here, the days of Moses are over. That we are done walking the wilderness, barely hanging on at AFC. We are about to take territory. And since I have come here, that is what we have done. We have enlarged our borders. We have enlarged our dominion. I did not come here to raise a bunch of hold the fort Christians. I came here to turn you into giant killers. And we're not here to sit down, suck our thumbs. We're here to plant churches. We're here to make miracles happen. We're here to reach lost and broken people, homeless people, drug addicts, rich people, anybody that wants it. God sent me here to make fighters out of you. And we're here to take the territory. Pastor, people are hurting. You can stand. People are hurting. Here's how Jesus worked. The Bible says as he was passing by blind men, they would call out. Sick women would crawl and grab his robe to be healed. Jesus oftentimes never stopped. He just walked by because Jesus, the passing by ministry of Jesus, sets the people that are hungry apart from people that are not. And you are so blessed today to feel that God is here. But he's not going to stay. You will miss this moment if you don't reach out for help. I wish today I was just talking to Brother Colton about physical miracles, but I'm not. I'm talking about your heart, because that's the junk we cover up the most in the church. It's not our sicknesses. Everybody wants to get free of cancer. But what about gossip? What about the way you talk at your house? What about the way you act? Brothers and sisters and guests, God will use me to help you, but you have to stop letting your pride keep you broken. I love you. You've got my number. You can get my email. I'm here at church services, but now it's on you. If you don't get out, it is only your fault, all by yourself. You will stand before God with this message ringing in your ears. Now, God forbid you'll go to hell. And this message will play on repeat. Call me disconnected all you want. Call me unloving all you want. But don't call me unless you really want out. Because I can't pretend with you watching your fingers fall off. I'm sorry, but I'd have to be a pretty cold-hearted man to sit at the coffee table while your life is a wreck and me talk to you about sports. I'm a pastor, not a life coach. Man of God first, and I am a vessel for him. I'm not your answer. I'm not your hope. I'm just working for God. And if you want out, then please get help. The Bible says Naaman was mad. He was throwing a fit. Servant, thank God for a servant that punched him in the side and said, bro, you need to get up and go to the altar today. His servant spoke up and said, what are you doing, man? You're so close. Why is the servant calling out? I'll tell you why the servant's calling out. Why is the servant risking getting his head cut off? I'll tell you why. Because as the king, as the general goes, so goes the whole house. Women and children have every right to call their dad out. Michael, right, Matthew? Our wives have every right to say, you better get help. Because as you go, we all go. You got a macho husband? Let's get a board of men together and let's have a meeting with your man. Let's get a bunch of godly men together in a room. Let's talk to that messed up macho husband of yours. I'll leave that church. You'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. Never live with yourself if you keep running from the opportunity set before you. Naaman was prepared to do something hard, but he wasn't prepared to do something embarrassing. I'll tell you, doing something embarrassing is the hardest thing you'll ever do for your pride. Let your desire to be whole be greater than your optics a credibility of who you are. Listen to me. Who do you really think you are if you're a leper? You think people are going to hang out with you if you're a leper? I don't care how much money you've got or chariots you've got. If you're a leper, you're going to lose everything. If I could just get you washed, I could hang out with you again. You know what your spouse is saying right now? If you could just get washed, I could be your friend again. If I could just get you washed, we could be a good family again. If you could just get washed, we could be close again. And this pastor is saying to people right now, and yeah, the altars are open. I'm saying to you right now, if you just get clean, everything's okay. Time for the walk of shame. I grew up in church and people would go by themselves to the altar and they lay cigarette packs down. Y'all remember that? I grew up, people bring their CDs of dirty music and they lay at the altar because they wanted to feel it. God, I want to show you how serious I am. I am falling apart and I don't care who sees me or hears me. I want out. I'm sick of the pain. I'm sick of the shame. I'm sick of the falling apart. I'm sick of the anger. I'm sick of the issues. I don't care who talks about me. I want out. I'll scream. I'll beg. I'll shout. I'll do anything. Lay your hand on my head, Pastor. Lay your hand on my head. I want free. Just give me a word. Just give me a commandment. I don't care what I look like, a punk. I don't care if I look like a slave. I just want to be free of this. Do anything. I just want to free. I just got to get free. I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm dying. I've tried everything. I'm dying. It's your own pride. Calling you out today to take a dip in the dirty waters, embarrass yourself, go down 7 times if you have to. There are disconnected, prideful, sour, hurting lepers falling apart in this room right now, but God will not fix you until you do what a man of God says. God, I want you to talk to me. Go try it. He's tried. It's not working. Obviously, you're too far from God to hear his voice. The next best thing is a man that loves you, who's rejected God just like you, who's been a leper just like you, who's messed up just like you. The reason why I'm frustrated is because I have been Naaman. I've not let people talk to me. I've been hard-hearted. I've hurt people. Jesus is passing by right now, and if you want out, the Lord told me, you better embarrass yourself right now. I prophesy over you right now, if you will embarrass yourself before God and man, God will cleanse you right now. That's the word for today. I'm done. I'm done preaching. You're dismissed.